So let's look at what on earth is mindfulness and what is concentration? Because I know everybody knows what concentration is, right? But do we all know the same thing by it? And do we understand why on earth it's necessary to have a certain degree of concentration in order to be successful in this path of awakening? How concentration contributes, what is its contribution to your personal transformation to a higher state of consciousness, to a higher state of being? And what is mindfulness? I know that's come up before, and it will continue to come up. What does this word that we translate as mindfulness really mean, and what is it referring to? So I think that would be a really good place to start right now, tonight. So let's start. Well, let's look at concentration to start with. What gets concentrated when you practice concentration?
Attention?
Yeah.
The right brain.
The right brain?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
May I say why I say that?
Yeah, you better tell me why.
I thought it was the left brain.
I suppose, yeah. Well, the left brain, to me, as I think about it, is the part of our brain that is always thinking and processing and data collecting and data outputting and all of that. Whereas the right brain operates on an extraordinarily different, in an extraordinarily different mode. So it's global, but not global in distraction, but global in its ability to absorb and be very present. Artists, when they're deeply into an artistic endeavor, are in large part in their right brain. They're really like that.
Well, I would have said that in meditation that what we're looking for is getting to that place where we're able to fully utilize both sides of our brain and the different aspects of mind that each is associated with. That's what I would have said, rather than just attributing it to the right brain. Because when we develop concentration, it's leading us towards a very interesting phenomenon that I think is best described as unification of mind, the coming together of the mind so that it works in a very different way than it usually does. Namely, it works, it's in a state of internal cooperation and harmony and coherence, and it's not dominated by any one particular mental process, but all mental processes are directed towards the same goal, or at least are contributing towards the same goal at the same time. So, and this unification of mind, I think it's telling us that we want all the parts of our mind working together, not just we're going to throw out half and mainly use one. But the reason it may seem that way is that a lot of times it seems like we're only using one part of our mind, which is more analytical and verbal and is busy thinking all the time. And so we may experience the longing to have the other aspects of our mind and consciousness more fully developed. And so we may be more aware of what's not what's not present most of the time in our daily activities, or what the world doesn't draw out of us, and we may experience the longing for that missing part. But I don't think it's because we want to have that instead of this. It's rather, we want to have the whole thing. But back to concentration. Attention, okay. We're concentrating something. And attention, I think that's a very reasonable thing to come to mind as the first thing. So it's worth looking at attention. What do we mean by attention? It definitely has a focus. Yeah, we focus our attention, we pay attention, we direct attention, we lose attention, you know, and just as an analogy or metaphor for attention is, in a lot of ways, it's like a beam of light, right? So, whatever your attention is on, that is what you are most clearly aware of, most fully conscious of. Is that right? Yeah. And as a matter of fact, that's almost what we mean by attention, is we are paying attention to X means that we are most clearly aware in this moment of X. And then if we shift the attention to Y, then we become most clearly aware of Y, and we're no longer as clearly aware of X as we were before. So this focus, it's this attention is this somehow this thing that can be directed in different places or can be occupied by different things at different times. I mean, the one metaphor is as though it's a beam of light that can be shown on one thing and then another and then another. But another metaphor would be that attention is a locus and things move in and out of it. And both seem to work and both seem to be more appropriate sometimes than others. But would you not agree that the most important characteristic of attention is our conscious awareness of its content? That's what makes it attention. Right? So attention is really a word that refers to this focusing of conscious awareness. And so we say we are concentrating even in the most ordinary everyday speech. When we say we're concentrating on something, does it not imply that we are paying attention to it in a very consistent way, right? So if we say we're going to develop concentration in meditation, what is it that we're developing? We're developing the ability to have some intentional control over what occupies this focus of conscious awareness, and the ability to keep the attention on something that we've chosen for a period of time. And it's interesting. Do you agree with me up to this point? That have we described the situation? Is there any sense in which you feel like maybe we haven't adequately expressed what we mean when we say we're concentrating on someone on something and we're cultivating concentration in terms of that ability to make the attention, make the focus of attention be what we've chosen it to be, and to sustain it there? Yes?
I felt before you were including something, and now I'm not sure if you're including it or not, that kind of practice where you are, I don't know the ways to say it, but I think if I describe it, you'll know what I mean, where you're not concentrating on any one thing, but just as sound happens, you note sound, and as a sensation happens, you note sensation, mm-hmm. you're just staying with that flow of experience. Mm-hmm. Are you including that kind of thing?
Well, now, well, you tell me, what I hear you referring to, I know exactly the practice you mean,
yeah.
but this is where attention seems to move. So I've got my attention on one thing, and then if something else comes along, like a sound, and not just any old sound, because there's always sounds. You know, there's never total silence. But a sound comes along that, for one reason or another, draws my attention leaves this object and goes to that one. And then there may be a thought, and my attention leaves that the sound, especially if it's an ongoing sound, and goes to the thought. So this is what I mean by attention moving from thing to thing to thing. Yes. So when we talk about concentration, we're talking about I'll just ask you, does it feel like when your mind moves from one thing to another, according to whatever is most attractive to it, that deserves to be called concentration?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm? Yes.
You say yes.
I've had experiences where I have, I don't know if I thought the words, but I would have said, I feel very concentrated.
Yes, okay. Well, I would agree with the two answers I heard. No and yes. They're both completely true.
Oh, good.
Right. Because this is what our attention does normally all the time without any training, is it moves from thing to thing to thing. It just, that's what happens all day long, right? You're trying to do this and your attention goes over there and you haul it back, and your attention goes over there and you haul it back. You know, or if you're not trying to focus your attention, if you're not trying to concentrate on a particular task, then your attention just goes here, and then it goes there, and it moves by association, or it's drawn by something that arises which presents some interest. That is the ordinary behavior of the mind. There's absolutely no concentration in that at all. None. Okay. But that doesn't mean that the logical conclusion from that isn't that only if the concentration is fixed on one, or only if the attention is fixed on one thing immovably, can we call it concentration. Okay. And this kind of leaps ahead. There, if you've developed your mind to the point that you can stay fully on one thing, if you choose to, then you can allow your mind to move, and you will have the experience of being totally concentrated while you allow your mind to move from one thing to another. And it's very different than the ordinary experience. But it already presupposes something different about the mind whose attention is moving than we normally experience in daily life. And that's so good. There must be the essence of concentration hidden in that. And if we want to really understand concentration, what we mean by concentration, we'll have to see how it is as much present when the mind is in the state that you described, as it is when the mind is remaining fixed on something. And when we can see clearly what that is, it should also be obvious to us how that is different from what is ordinarily happening all day, every day. Right? So good. So we have you know, we can think about this now and get a little bit closer to maybe what the essence of this concentration thing is that we're trying to find out about. Now, and actually what you've raised is something that has been the source of a vast amount of confusion, which has led people to believe that they can do what you described without first developing concentration. And in my experience, and in the experience of every meditator that I've ever worked with, it is absolutely impossible. You have to first have concentration before you have that experience you talked about of, even though the mind moves from object to object, there's the feeling of being totally focused. And the difference is, let me see if I can capture it, and if you'll agree with me from your experience, so when we know we're talking about the same thing. The difference is, ordinarily, the movement, the spontaneous movement of attention that occurs in our daily life, is that it chases after something, or it's drawn to something, and it latches onto it. And it's kind of stuck on it, no matter what else is coming up to a certain point. And then whatever it's stuck on will either lose its appeal, or something more interesting will come along. And then it'll jump over to that. But if something else more interesting comes along, it'll hardly touch on this before it bounces over to the next thing. And so our attention is more just kind of skittering about, looking, and getting stuck. So it's alternating between skidding around and getting stuck. Our attention, you know, the picture that I have in my mind is this thing that we call the attention that is being yanked and pulled one direction or another by what's interesting, what's fascinating, what seems important. And it's totally at the mercy of whatever comes up. And then, when something comes up that is really interesting or important or enticing or threatening or something like that, the mind gets stuck on it, and the attention is stuck there until what's holding it lets go. That's the ordinary way. But instead, the experience that you're talking about, the one that I would say is concentration, is that the mind goes to something and it's fully there, 100% with it. Nothing pulling it anywhere else until something else comes up and there is, it has a deliberateness to it by which it has. Now, and this goes to another aspect of it. You're aware, you're never aware of just one thing. You're always aware of several things. Something will come up, and there will be something deliberate and intentional about acknowledging that that sound is the next thing that attention is going to go to. And then it methodically and deliberately goes and strikes on that thing and absorbs it fully and grasps it before it goes to the next thing. It's not like a loose billiard ball running around, bouncing from thing to thing, and being yanked and pulled, but it has a stability to it. And wherever it arrives fully. And while it's there, it may only be a split second, but while it's there, it's totally there. And when it moves, it moves smoothly and clearly to the next thing. It's not yanked and jerked around. Does that sound like the experience you're talking about?
Yeah, it's there's certainly this lack of stuckness. It's this thing.
Yeah.
And there's no voting about it. You know, there's no
voting about it.
No vote. Yeah, it's not like, oh, I'm glad I'm feeling this. Oh, I don't want to feel that.
Yeah.
It's boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let's pay attention to this now. No, let's pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's wonderful. That's the unification of mind that I'm talking about. Instead of all these different parts of your mind, if you think about it, unification of mind is where your mind's not being pulled in all these different directions, or your attention's not being pulled in all these different directions by different parts of your mind that have different agendas and different priorities. And that's what allows you to be fully with something and also not be stuck with it. So, comes back to unification of mind, I think. I think it does come back to that. Now, it's very interesting that in the Buddhist teachings on meditation and on this subject, that they clearly define the first thing that you want to develop in your meditation practice is something called vitakka and vichara, which means directed and sustained attention. And I'll apologize to you in advance because you're going to read the most stupid interpretations of it all over the place. You know, that it means investigation and thinking and pondering and all kinds of things like that. It means it's about exactly what we're talking about, and it is that we have the ability to direct our attention, and we do it all the time. It's an innate ability. We come equipped with the capacity to intentionally direct our attention. But most of the time, most every day, we do not intentionally direct our attention. Right? Our attention is yanked this way and that. It goes here, chases after that, looks after that cute girl or that cute guy, goes to this worrisome thought, you know. It's just, there is no intention behind the directing of attention. But you can direct attention anytime you have to. And when you started out in grade school, you started to learn that if you didn't develop a certain capacity to direct your attention, you would never get out of second grade because the teacher and the system expected you to be able to pay attention long enough to get certain tasks done. So we have the ability, there is a mental function that we have that is capable of intentionally directing attention, but it is underdeveloped. And so vitakka is directed attention. It's cultivating the ability to intentionally direct your attention. And that's what you do when you meditate, right? And that's why when you're cultivating directed attention, it doesn't matter how many times your attention goes off the meditation object, because the important thing you're doing is intentionally directing it back. And if it never went away, you'd never have an opportunity to practice redirecting it, right? So, the more times you redirect your attention, it's like a muscle. You're making the directed attention muscle stronger. Now, if you look at the other thing about the way your attention behaves in your daily life, it does get stuck on things. But in general, no matter what you pay attention to, your attention goes there, and it stays there a certain period of time, and then something happens, and it's cut loose. And it'll either go to whatever else is already in your awareness that looks more interesting or more fun. Or else, it will just start casting about looking for anything that it can find that might be more interesting and more fun than what your attention was resting on before. Is that not what you find in your daily life all the time? So this, and when you are trying to accomplish a task and you direct your attention to something, you know, and here I am directing my attention to this cup of water. And it's no problem up to a certain point. And then suddenly something shifts and now my attention, it's like a leash has been taken off. It's free to go. And I look at that and I say, ah, okay. So we've got this other little widget in our mind whose job is to, when you've directed your attention to something, or when something's caught your attention, its job is to decide when to set the attention free to go look for something else more interesting. So we could call that the attention sustaining function. So we're born with that. It works all the time. But we see that it can be put under intentional control. We can not only direct our attention to something, but we can sustain our attention on it. But up to it only responds to our intention up to a certain point. It's not too well trained. It's there. We use it. We can use it. But we could train it better. It could respond. It's just like directed attention. Sustained attention could be more responsive to intention. And through training, it does become more responsive to intention. So when I look at the Buddhist teachings on meditation, and they say meditation begins with vitakka and vichara. It begins with directed and sustained attention. And I look at the experience of my mind in daily life and the experience of my mind in meditation, I say, well, yeah, of course. There's some part of my mind that directs the attention and can do that under intentional control and can sustain the attention and can do that under intentional control. And all I have to do is to make it stronger. It's just to exercise it until it becomes stronger. And the result of that is that those moments of consciousness that make up your life you can now influence them. So let's talk about that a little bit. Well, first of all, what do you think of the idea that your life is made up of conscious experiences, a series of conscious experiences happening over time? Is that what your life is?
What else could it be?
What else could it be? That's what it is. Starts here, then one after another, they go on. There's these gaps where we fall asleep, or maybe we're put under anesthesia or something like that. But one conscious experience follows after another. That's what makes up our life. Now, the content of any given conscious experience is what? It's what you're paying attention to? Is that not true? Have you ever walked down the same street or walked into the same room in two very different moods? And one time you see, oh, isn't that interesting? Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh, isn't that nice? Oh, isn't that lovely? Oh, doesn't that feel good? Oh, doesn't that sound? And exactly the same place, in a different mood, you know, oh, that's dirty. Somebody should do something about that. That feels terrible, right? What's the difference? Are you paying attention to the same things? No. So that's a pretty clear illustration that the quality of your life, of your very existence, is directly related to what you pay attention to. Not to mention all of the other things that, you know, if you ride a bicycle down the street, there's some things that you could pay attention to that would result you being in a hospital, whereas other things you pay attention to result in you getting to your destination in one piece and feeling good and happy. What you pay attention to is extremely important in terms of what you are and the quality of your life. So, and this brings us to consciousness. If you're paying attention, you're conscious of what you pay attention to, right?
Can you be conscious of everything at once? Have you ever tried that? Yeah.
Can we just back up just for a minute?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so you're walking down the street one day and everything's hunky-dory. Then you're walking down the same street, pretty much looking at the same things, and everything is pretty funky. It seems to me, if I understood what you were saying, and I may not have, that there are so many factors that influence how we're looking at the street, what we're thinking about, how we're thinking about it. Because we are chemical soup. And we have memories that get triggered. And maybe when we were walking down the street, you know, there was a dog full of ticks. And we feel really, really horrible for that dog. And it triggers a whole series of internal responses, conscious and unconscious. So I don't know, I'm just throwing that out because it seems like that what we think about and how we think about it is very complex, has a lot of subtleties, and isn't determined necessarily by our consciously directed attention.
Well, yes, and that's true. It is very complex and it's influenced by many things. That's kind of getting ahead. I'm just making the really simple point that that street is what you pay attention to on any given occasion, or that room consists of the things that you pay attention to. And there's many things there that you don't pay attention to. So your reality is directly dependent upon what you pay attention to. You know, you don't experience a street. You experience those things that you attend to while you happen to be in that location. And the street is going to be different, totally different. There's an infinite number of streets that it could be. The same place with all the same things there. There's an infinite number of them, depending on which combination of things happen to enter into your attention during the period of time that you're there. That's my point. Not sort of going beyond that, just that much of it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. It's the same street, but you're paying attention to different things on the street.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. The street as you experience it will depend entirely on what you happen to pay attention to. And keep in mind, too, that you can walk down the entire street with your mind all caught up in thoughts of this or that, and that street didn't even exist. Because you didn't pay attention to it. So, but what's important about attention is that what you're consciously aware of is what you're paying attention to. And so back to this question, in any given moment, can you be aware of everything?
Well,
even in the act of imagining that there might be a kind of being that can, we are acknowledging that we can. And that's really the important thing. And that's why there's an infinite number of possible ways that we can experience the street, because the only way they could be reduced to a single way of experiencing the street is if we could experience absolutely everything that was there to be experienced. And as far as I know, that's not possible for us to do. So what's important is what we pay attention to. So what are the implications of that then? One implication is that if you can cultivate directed and sustained attention so that it is under your voluntary control, you automatically, instantaneously, if it could happen instantaneously, but if you could suddenly be in full control of how your attention, your mind directs and sustains attention, you would have enormous control over the kind of reality that you found yourself in. And remember, you're not just attending to things outside of yourself, you're attending to all the stuff that's in your mind as well. So your reality is what you are consciously aware of. You can't be consciously aware of everything that you could potentially be consciously aware of. So therefore, it is selective. So concentration, back to the question of what is concentration. Concentration is, how about we call it, attentional stability. And here I'm using stability to mean that it's not being pulled here and there willy-nilly, but there's an element of stability about where it goes, and there's also stability about how long it stays there. So concentration can be seen as attentional stability. Oh, is it 8:30 already? Okay. Well, okay, so I should wrap it up. What I wanted to move on to, though, from here, there's two things that I want to move on to, and I'll maybe leave them for next time we talk, but just to give you an idea of where I'd like to go with this, is what is this consciousness stuff anyway? And we have this other word, awareness, and do they both mean the same thing, or could we use them? Are there different aspects to what we're talking about that it would be convenient to have more than one term to apply to? What is consciousness? And what is its role? And what is its relationship to everything? And the other thing, the other way I want to go with this, is closely related to that, and that's has to do with what mindfulness is. What does it mean to be mindful? What is mindful awareness? What is fully conscious awareness? And how does that fit in with the whole process of meditation, and how do we make sense of it? Because that's, you know, if concentration is one of the factors of enlightenment, actually the term in Pali is samadhi. Samadhi. And it means gathering together. And it's usually translated as concentration. But if you look at it at its etymology, it means a gathering together. And, of course, if we look at the word concentration in English that we translated into, con means with, centration means moving towards the center. It means it has the same root. So it's interesting that we have a word in Pali and Sanskrit whose root is the gathering together, and which is used to refer to what we train our minds to do when we achieve, in terms of achieving this attentional stability. And the word in English, concentration, that we mean the same thing by, also means with centering or gathering towards a center, so, or gathering towards one place. So they both of these words have similar deep etymological meanings. Concentration and samadhi are a gathering together of what? Of conscious awareness under volitional control, directed and sustained attention. Okay. Next week, I'll check, or 2 weeks from tonight, I'll check and see how you like this style of teaching. And before we go, oh, you had a question?
I can tell you already I like it.
You already like it? Okay. Well, that's good.